Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. As the raindrop is descending on earth, so it's boastful of itself. I am pure, coming from heaven. I am a purifying agent, and I am life. Al-ma'i kullu shay'in hayy. Life is because of water. So it thinks so much of itself. I am life. I am pure, coming from heaven. I am a purifying agent, tahir and mutahir. And the world can't do without me. But when it comes face to face with the ocean, it sees the broadness, the width, the depth. Then he says, I'm nothing. And then when he inspects himself again, he understands that he came from the ocean, because the vapor rose from the ocean. Then he says, I'm absolutely nothing. So the one that wants to progress, this is the requisite. The more you think, I am nothing. Allahumma ahyini miskina wa amitni miskina wa ahshurni fi zumratil masakin. Let me live as a miskin, die as a miskin, and raise me up with a miskin. Right? That means we have all the qualities of the miskin. A miskin, a poor, a needy person, he doesn't think anything of himself. Don't you see him on the corner of the street? He's got a bowl, he says, boss, something for the wife and children, please. He'll bow down, and he will show his wantonness, he'll show his desperation, and have his hands stretched out. Boss, can't we learn something from him? Can't we also humble ourselves to Allah Ta'ala? That I'm nothing. You fill my bowl. Otherwise I'm a waste. So until we don't think like that, that you don't get that ma'rifat. We sometimes speak about ma'rifat, recognition of Allah Ta'ala, then until we don't understand this, and not just understand it, but bring it into our hearts, bring it into our behavior, we can't progress. And then it's not just a temporary feature, it must be a lasting feature. Ahyini miskina wa amitni miskina, from birth to death. And doesn't end there. Wahshurni fi zumratil masakin. You also raise me up with the poor. So when you're showing your desperation, then Lord Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon you. From the time you came till the end of life, even on the day of Qiyamah, you're not bragging and boasting. You don't think anything of yourself. If you do us any good, right, then you understand that that good is not of your own. That good was also the blessing of Allah Ta'ala. Be it the ibadah that you did, be it the wrong that you abstained from, be it the sacrifices that you made, then you think to yourself, you are a miskin, you are nothing, right? What are you? Hazrat Sahib Rahmatullahi, these were the embodiments. What we're talking of, they were the embodiments. It was his routine. He would meet Hazrat Muhammad Rasulullah Sahib Rahmatullahi at intervals. So Hazrat also recognized him and he asked him to sit at the spot that he sits. Normally the saintly person, that seating is just reserved for him. So he requested Musab Rahmatullahi to sit there. So on his insistence, not to displease and disappoint him, he sat. But he says, "Ye khak ka putla hai, chahe yahan par rakho, chahe rakho, kya fark aata hai?" So it's just a lump of soil. Place it here, or place it there. Place it on a silken carpet, or place it on the ground. It doesn't make a difference. So they have understood their origins. But just understanding is not sufficient. Then you need to make yourself like sand, like dust. Because I am the dust. The morning also I said, Khakam ki hastam, I'm just the dust of the earth. So the good that you see is not of mine, is not my achievement. It is the blessings of Allah Ta'ala that radiate onto me. Otherwise, when that life, the switch of life just goes off, then what happens? Any of that greatness, can you see any of that? Nothing. So Allah Ta'ala allowed it to reflect like the light that's shining on the wall, right? So it's not of its own achievement. It's the glory of the sun. The sun decides to move, the thing is covered in darkness, total darkness. So this becomes like a continuous feature. No greatness, no achievement, no perfection. I'm just that. And if you talk of perfection, greatness, glory, then it's totally and entirely attributed to Allah Ta'ala. See how the Nabi Sulaiman alayhi salam, Dawud alayhi salam say, "Hada min fadli Rabbi." It's not my own achievement. It is just purely the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Okay. Now, in order to get there, then we need to understand the nafs. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. The nafs, what it wants? It doesn't want to be restrained. It doesn't want to be restricted, right? Don't you see the people, youngsters on the road, right? So, do they want any restriction? Whether drag racing carries on, you hear that from the freeway, you hear that drag racing here, right? But when they are on that drag race, do they want any restriction? Then worse than the drag racing is the motorcycle racing and how they take the bends and whatever, right? But do they want any restriction at that time? Yeah. There is absolutely no restriction. So that's the nafs. Nafs doesn't want to be checked. It doesn't want anyone restraining it. It doesn't want any person fastening it. Just to be free. And the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, we can't enumerate. But Ramadan is an opportunity to restrain yourself. Even those things that are permissible, now restrain yourself from those things that are permissible. Food was permissible, drink was permissible, intimacy was permissible. Now restrain yourself. Can you see that? So when you restrain yourself now from permissible things, then you build some stamina, some strength and capacity from leaving out things that are impermissible. And then when you build yourself restraining, you build a restraint within yourself, right? Now then at the night then you are perfuming yourself with the fragrance of ibadat. Perfume yourself. So now the nafs is checked and purified, right? See, like a cloth, right? If it's a dirty cloth and you've got attar, dirty marks and stains, all that. Right. So, what is the right procedure? Just to apply itar to that cloth. What is the first procedure? First procedure is wash it, clean. Apply the itar, you'll make a mess up. You first clean the thing, now the itar will show its beauty, right? So same, the nafs, right? You cleaned it by restraining, stopping it, right? You cleansed it. Once you say something, you're stopping it. Once you eat something, you're stopping it. Once you see something, you're stopping it, right? Stopping it. Now once the nafs has been cleansed, now the beauty of the night then will shine out to you. But now you don't want to do that, then that beauty, that light, that charisma of the night, you can't get that. To enjoy that, then you have to just restrict yourself. That's why we keep stressing on taking care of the eyes, tongue, in etikaf, then also meeting. Our elders say that ta'alluqat israh mein sakht muzir hai. Ta'alluqat israh mein sakht muzir hai. Joining up and talking, socializing, all that. Yeah. That is very, very detrimental on this path. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got contacts and whatever, right? Then there can be a lot of complications. Complications can be like, for example, it's a friend you got, right? And you don't want an interruption in the friendship. But now, he's watching movies and whatever. And you have the heart to stop him. Then won't you have a compromising attitude? So then the easy thing is, right, don't build that relationship. Don't build connections. Your ta'alluq is primarily with Allah Ta'ala. And every coming day, the ta'alluq must just grow on progressing. Now, your relationship and your circle of friends is increasing all the time. So the relationship with Allah Ta'ala, how do you want that thing to grow? Because all your energy is gone this side. When it's gone this side, then how do you expect that special relationship with Allah Ta'ala? Here, in the whole tasawuf, you want a special relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Don't you? That's what you came for. But now, mixing up here, talking there, okay? Then you have to balance it, right? I must do it such that he mustn't feel affected. He mustn't feel hurt. And why? Because I don't want the relationship to be interrupted. See? So Allah Pak doesn't want that type of a relationship. He and just he alone. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah, right? In kana abaukum, abnaukum, ikhwanukum, azwajukum, ashiratukum, right? Usakinu tardona, yeah, right? Tijaratun takshunat kasadha. Whether it's you, your wife, your children, your business. Right? So, who's going to come first? The Sahaba Kiram build a relationship with Allah Ta'ala such, right, that one announcement of the prohibition of wine. One announcement. فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Are you going to stop this? This إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ. One announcement. And then Allah asks what? فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Are you going to stop this? Now compare them against us, right? We say, hey, well, I got a tenant as a pub, as a casino, as what. So we'll ask 10 questions, you know, I can't stop this, that, whatever, right? Yeah, this was just one announcement. إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. It's the handiwork of shaitan. First thing he put, three times it's emphasized, right? And fourth time, فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُونَ. Are you going to stop this? Can you see now what was the relationship? So if the relationship is strong, then in one announcement, And they say, intahina, intahina, intahina. The Sahaba Ikram said thrice, we have left it out now, we have left it out. And the attachment to wine was such that if you go see the Arab history, then there were approximately 360 varieties of wine. Not just one Juba. There are 360 varieties. Like, as though on every occasion, every day, it's a new. Today is this, tomorrow is that, Thursday is something else. Say, they're celebrating all the time. And then, in just a single announcement to say, intahina, we stopped it. So what was the relationship with us? That's why I say, Israam, ta'alluqat, sakh musir. Because your contact with people, with wealth, with your business, is so, so strong, you have to, I'm not doing a business. It's just a shop, you know, I've rented it out. But now, I don't indulge, and I don't sell also. But it's just a, but now, you see the level of Sahaba Kiram in us. So what was it? Their relationship was with Allah Ta'ala. That the primary relationship is with Allah Ta'ala. Everything is, we will be good to you, but our relationship is with Allah Ta'ala. Nothing must come and interrupt our relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Smallest thing or the biggest thing. Nothing must interrupt. Sahabis bring an important consignment of wine. Imported, right? And a big consignment. He put all his money, a couple of millions into it, and he imported it. Just out of Medina, he heard that this is prohibited. Imagine the trouble he's taken to go bring the consignment, and right at the gates of Medina, hears the announcement, and there and then it destroys it. Can you see what iman had? What was the relationship with Allah Ta'ala? Everything, every person was secondary. So when that was primary, then the one that will take you there, show you there, then he will become primary. He is the primary thing. That's the primary relationship. And the one that's going to lead you there, right? Then that must become the primary thing. Because now you understand that he's taking you to the original, to the primary. The one was on Maulana Murtaza Sahib, right? If I remember the name correctly. So he came to the Sheikh, said, I came for Bayat, right? So the different mashayikh, they've got different approaches. Right? So the Shaykh tells him, alright, go and make istikhara. You came, the cause you came for is noble, but my request is make istikhara. Think about it. Well, you don't want the person just to jump into it and then have regrets after. Now. He just jumped and the Shaykh tells sympathetic and just accepted him. After some time, then he feels, hey, I don't think I made the right move. Right. See, now he's got a double mind. Right. So he's got a double mind, he's got some regrets now. That have I made the right move or the wrong move? Right. So the Shaykh, just to avoid this, he says, go think about it nicely, make istikhara, all that. And when you settle, then you come back. So that he has a rethink, understands what he's going to, understands what's the purpose, what he has to do, right, what he has to leave, he understands the whole procedure. Right. When he's understood the whole thing and then he's come in, then that commitment will be a right commitment, it'll be a lasting commitment, and every day will bring some happiness. No regrets and no remorse. Now, here, grudgingly, he just can continue, he made a commitment, and now he's bitter about it, grudgingly he's carrying on, right? So, will that be an enjoyable relationship? Right. So anyway, he went, and after 3-4 hours he came back. Shaykh said, but I asked you to make istikhara, think about it nicely, carefully. But have you done the istikhara? She says, yeah, I have done the istikhara, but I haven't seen an istikhara like this. You know, in just 3-4 hours and your istikhara is done. She says, how did you make that istikhara? He said, I went in seclusion, I thought about this. I thought about this whole aspect, right? I'm going to commit myself. So what does the commitment require? You know, you make a commitment. I'm purchasing this product and I will pay you over 12 installments. 10,000 every month, right? Over 12 months, right? So I made a commitment now. I have to keep to it. Right? So same, you know, I made a commitment. Now I have to respect the commitment that I've made. So what is the commitment? So I have to do some things and leave out some things. So now I'm thinking, hey, but that's a hard one. Huh? So the Sharia, this is what it's talking about. Leave out some things and do some things. Some things may be hard, some things may be very hard, and some things may be easy and manageable. But you'll have to, when you've given a commitment, then you have to leave out some things and you have to do some things. There may be addictions, there may be too deep, you may be very deeply attached to it, but then your attachment, where is your attachment? See? Like I showed just now, the Sahaba Kiram, one announcement and they said, intahina, now we stopped, left it. On the sixth year was the Sulh of Hudaybiyah, right? On the sixth year, right? Then the verse was revealed. وَلَا تُمْسِكُوا بِعِصَمِ الْكَوَافِرِ. Now, don't retain the marriage contracts with kafir women, right? The contract that you had previously with kafir women, now just terminate. لَا تُمْسِكُوا بِعِصَمِ الْكَوَافِرِ. Right? Understand? Now, can you imagine now, it's a marriage tie, right? And the marital tie, is it easy to just give it up? For years now, you're married together, and now you should just, in one stroke, one instance, you have to just give it up. لَا تُمْسِكُوا بِعِصَمِ الْكَوَافِرِ. See, kafir women that are in your nikah, just terminate this. And immediately there is a termination. Nobody saying, hey, but you know, I'll be soft to her and maybe she will then come towards Islam, you know. Did any sahabi do that? I'll be lenient, I'll be considerate, and with time she'll understand the beauty of Islam and she may come. See that? So you see our commitment and their commitment. So this is what this path requires, that commitment. Right? It's not just an ordinary thing. The commitment is with Allah Ta'ala. When the commitment is with Allah Ta'ala, then how conscious is supposed to be about it, you know? Because it's not a commitment with a person, right? Now, you made a commitment, business commitment, right? With a friend or whatever, right? Now, you don't want to break the commitment because you have a long-standing relationship. Right? A very long-standing relationship, you don't want to break it. You don't want to spoil it, right? You have a commitment to marry a girl, right? The girl of your choice, right? You look so many places, and then at length now you made up your mind on this one here. From all, you know, she was now the capital of your eye, right? And you made a commitment. You think to break that commitment is easy. So now, can you understand the commitment that these people made with Allah Ta'ala? Now, we're not going to listen to anybody. Whoever sees it, whatever he sees, we're not going to listen, we're not interested. The commitment is with you now. So now this is a problem in this day, that our commitment to Allah Ta'ala is not like how it's supposed to be. So if we talk about ghibat, then is the commitment like how it's supposed to be? If we talk about being punctual and regular in namaz properly, iqamati salah, with all the sunan and adab, then are we doing it like that? If we talk about looking after our eyes, right, is our commitment like how it's supposed to be? If we talk about being careful of your time, managing the time correctly, is the commitment like how it's supposed to be? So this is what this whole exercise is all about, is a commitment that you want to make to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, I went into seclusion and I thought about it very carefully. So this is why they ask you first, think about it. Don't just make the commitment, don't jump. First, go and understand what it is all about, right? And when you understood the nitty-gritties, and then you have resolved, right? Then, as though you have accepted it knowingly, right? You understand the responsibilities, the obligations that come, right? And should everything. Now you give your commitment, right? You went to a nikah, right? So, it's not only about saying nikah tuha, no. Then you understood now the responsibilities, the obligations that come with the nikah. You can't tell your father-in-law, I only said nikah tuha. I didn't say house tuha and kapra tuha, no. I didn't say that. I only said nikah tuha. Will anybody listen to the story? No. When you said nikah tuha, then all these things come in the package. Whether it's a house, whether it's expensive, whether it's clothes, whether it's food, provisions, etc., all comes into that package. But the word that you use was just one. So you're doing it with a proper commitment, understanding, right? And if you don't, right, then the father-in-law, the girl's family, they have regrets of their life. Right? You know, what do we do about this thing here? That this commitment he had made, and now he's not honoring the commitment. Now we're stuck here. We ask our daughter to come back, then it'll be said that she's coming from a broken home. We ask her to just stick in the nikah, then how can she stick in a nikah like this? What a difficult life. See commitment. When you make a commitment, la deena liman la ahdalahu. What is a commitment? You can't keep up to your commitment, then you don't have any deen. No deen. So the commitment that you made to Allah Ta'ala, right? Prohibitions and commands, right? What commitment you made and how firm are we on it? Are we relaxed or are we very, very committed, right? You made a commitment, you got married, right? And use the words, she said that, whatever she had to say, and you had to say whatever. But now, she's showing interest in other things, other boys, right? Now, will you appreciate this? She's balancing a little bit you, and a little bit of my past friends, right? Will you appreciate this? She says, no, you see, you tell anything. I say, well, it's my democratic right. The whole West is talking about democracy. My democratic right, so long as it's consensual, both parties agreed, and there is no force, and we are of age, we have friends of our choice, we have some pleasure with them. I say, will it go well? So you don't want this balancing thing. In matters pertaining to your personal self, you want a balancing thing. Then how can you accept some type of a balancing act with the relationship with Allah Ta'ala? Can you see that? So this relationship with Allah Ta'ala is about the most precious, or the only relationship, most precious and the only relationship. So you can understand now how you adore it, Are you respected? Are you honored? At the slightest interruption in how you go about fixing it up. وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَىٰ مَا فَعَلُوا. They made a mistake. Cry for days until they come on. Now missing namaz, missing jamaat, missing takbir ula, one rakat going, second rakat going, and it doesn't strike a chord in the heart. Talking something, ghibah sometimes, sometimes it's gossiping, sometimes it's information, misinformation, sometimes it's exaggeration, but it doesn't strike a chord at all. Can you see that? Whether it was a Muawiyah or some pious person. So he's fast asleep and someone comes in, nudges him. Get up, it's tahajjud time. So he looked around, said, but who are you? No, just as a friendly reminder, come. But who are you? He caught his hand, tried to escape, tell me who are you? I'm Mr. Shaitan. But then, what business you had to come and get me up? He said, you see, yesterday you missed out your tahajjud, right? You cried. Just for tahajjud, cried. See, a small interruption and how you got affected. Right? And we are the opposite. One day we got our tahajjud, see, hey, Hazrat, you know, I got our tahajjud today. Look at the diversity. Yeah, one day he missed, and you could already sense the difference, right? As Mustafa Rahmatullah should say, one day you leave out mutala, right? Then for 40 days, right, that momentum of mutala going to be affected. One day. Qari Amir Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah came here a couple of times. This is one day you leave out your ma'amul for reciting the Quran Sharif, right? Then for several days you can't get that momentum. So many hafiz I come across, right? And they're not reciting Quran Sharif. One day, 2 days, 1 month, now and then they read. But then why do you do this hafiz then? For what it was? Right? And then girls are even worse. Right? They're not reciting, making dhuhr at all. Because when Ramadan comes, I think, how much of dua he must make for his umrah, right? So he started Tarawih, and he started the Quran, and he also was the one that was the catalyst to the compilation of the Quran Sharif, right? Umrah, right? So now, had it not been for umrah, then boys would say, you just finish the hifz and finish class, like girls, right? But you have to go read the Tarawih, recite with someone, and then I encourage go read with some musallis at least, 30, 40 people, right? Go read 1-2 people, Yamurun, Tamurun, and carry on, the whole Tarawih is finished, right? Yeah, you know, there's 30, 40 people, some hafiz in there. You're going to be careful about your recitation. You look at it again, second time, third time, fourth time, recite from someone, then you read, the first namaz, eventually you'll have the Quran Sharif. Serious commitment, right? So now, I'm showing you that interruption, they can feel straight away. Now, we are doing, the tongue is going off, the eyes are going off, time is getting wasted, but we don't feel. So that's an indication, Rana ala qulubi. There's some seals that have been settled on the heart, right? So, sustained, right? Rusted now. Because it's rusted now, the good can't penetrate. And you can't perceive the right. You can't perceive the wrong. You can't perceive the right. But doing this wrong, you became insensitive. See, why you became insensitive? Because of the stain of the wrong. And what happened after that? Well, you did the wrong one time, second time, third time. Then you didn't think much about it, you didn't make tawbah after that, you didn't correct it. Now you became totally insensitive. Now, you came to a level where you don't consider the wrong to be wrong anymore. See that? But now that's it. Rana ala qulub, the stain, that rust has settled there. Now, you can't sense the wrong, you become insensitive to wrong and insensitive to right. But I see where it's coming from. It's coming from this point. Now, one day, and he missed out on the tahajjud, and what happens to him is crying. The whole day is crying. But he's asking the shaitan, but what business have you got to come and remind me? He says, see, you cried so much, I could see you elevated like I can't imagine. You were exalted by Allah Ta'ala, like I can't imagine. So I thought to myself, hey, if I'm going to cry again, there will be wara'ul wara, there will be beyond and beyond. So let's compromise somewhere between, let me get him. He doesn't fly, he doesn't come to very high flyers. See that? So one day, one mishap, one misuse of the tongue, and how careful they are, right? One buzurg is passing a place, and he's asking now, I see some new development come here, right? What is this all about? He says, thereafter he reflected, I got no business about the development, someone's house, so he needs to stay, so his building, so did I have a need to go and find out what's the need for that? So he said, just for that one sentence that was not required, and in love with Mu'ridun, he cried for about 30 years. They perceive the difference in the relationship with Allah Ta'ala. That relationship is not like how it's supposed to be. The person is new, comes in, right? He does things very well. Then he enjoys the relationship. After some time, then when he becomes immune to all these things here, then he forgets about the relationship with Allah Ta'ala. When he forgets about the relationship, now he can't sense it. That perception now is collapsing. And he doesn't even realize. So this is a type of an istidraj, right? Where Allah Ta'ala allows the person to collapse, but so gradually that he can't perceive. See? So it's so subtle that he can't perceive that he's falling down. See? So that Muslim must progress all the time. And for him to progress, yesterday we said that your time is malfuz, that da'imin nigah dasht. You have to have a guard over the mind all the time, police over your mind. Doing the right thing, I said the right thing, I looked at the right thing, is this my business or my business? Why I fell into this? So you need to have a guard over yourself 24/7, all the time. So we're talking about this person here. He said, then I went, and I thought about the whole thing. So my mind is telling me, but now you're going to change yourself. You're born free. Now you're going to change yourself. So why don't you remain free? You're born free, right? So what's the need for you to change yourself? See, he's discussing with his mind. So then he replies to his mind that I've changed myself. I'll get Allah Ta'ala at the end. I've chained myself, I've bonded myself, binded myself. So what I'll get? I'll get Allah Ta'ala. So now he's countering, the nafs is countering. But what's the guarantee that you will get Allah Ta'ala? Do you have any guarantee? Do you have anything? So then he says, alright, then at least Allah Ta'ala will say that he tried to reach me. Allah will say, and that's what Allah wants. Man arad al-akhirata wa sa'alaha. If this wasn't tried, then we'll look at him. Kana sa'yum mashkura. We'll look at him favorably. We'll appreciate it. So just then, that discussion in his mind ended. Now the Shaykh said, hey, first time about a person who made a istikhara like yours. But isn't it beautiful? Doesn't it open the whole path out? Allah Baktofi Nisikir.